Tonight, and I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Everybody say, "Be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord. Amen. That's what I want to preach about tonight. Be strong in the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. There's different kinds of strength. There is physical strength. And you don't have a whole lot to say about how much of that you have. You were born with a certain amount of it. And that's, you can enhance that somewhat, but we're limited in the physical strength that we have. Some people are born very strong physically, others are not born strong physically at all. There is a mental strength and a mental tenacity. Some people are born with great determination. Amen. That sounds better than being stubborn, doesn't it? Yeah, the people are stubborn. I'm just determined. Amen. It matters the perspective that you're seeing it from. Amen. But some people have great mental strength. They know how to choose a task and stay with it until they get it done. And some people never attain that. Some people are wishy-washy and they can't seem to make up their mind. They can't seem to stay with anything. And they have difficulty focusing. Amen. It's good to have mental strength. That's a good thing. Amen. But what we want to talk about tonight is neither of those. We want to talk about the strength. And the Bible said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In the power of his might. Amen. You remember Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, he said, "All power is given unto me." All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And in the book of Revelation, he is called the Almighty. Amen. So if he has all power and he is the Almighty, amen, that's where power comes from. And that's where our strength comes from. Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of Acts, if you remember the first chapter and the 8th verse, the Bible said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." So Jesus said, "I have all power." And then in Acts, he promised his power also to us. Hallelujah. He said, "I'm going to give my power to you." 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. He said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Everybody say, "Mighty through God." Amen. That's what we're talking about tonight. You want to be strong, you've got to have the might of the Lord. We can't do this in our own strength, folks. We can't make this just walking because we're strong people. Samson was a strong man. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he was a strong man. But he found out he couldn't do it by himself. Amen. Amen. He was a good man, but he couldn't make it by himself. Amen. No matter how good you are tonight, you're not good enough. You can't make it by yourself. You've got to have something more. So the Bible said we're mighty through God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I love what he said in 1 John 4:4. John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. It's not who I am, it's who he is. Now, there's a difference in power and authority. We really have less power, but more authority. Authority is delegated power. It is power that you do not have of yourself. Have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden you saw some little lights come on behind you on top of a car? And you get that sinking feeling in your stomach. Oh, why is that? He's just a man, but he has some authority. All of the authority of the state of Texas has been invested in him. And he walks up there and he's got that good looking suit and that nice hat on. And he walks up and he says, good afternoon. Could I see your driver's license, please? Amen. And if you're wise, you will comply. Amen. Because if you want to fight with him, you're going to take on the whole state of Texas. And you're going to lose. It's not power that he has, it's authority. I read a story that in Mexico City, there was a boy that climbed upon a pedestal at a busy intersection, just a boy, and he was standing up there directing traffic, and people were doing whatever he told them to do. He was having the time of his life. He certainly didn't have any power, but because he was standing in a place of authority, people respected what he told them to do. It wasn't the boy, it was the place where he stood. Amen. That's what the scripture is saying tonight. It is not because we are strong, but we are mighty in Jesus Christ. It's our position that we are in. And it's not our power, but it's his power. It's not our strength, but it's his strength. So he said, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so that's how he expects us to stand strong. Then he goes on here and he tells us how we can do that. He says that we are strong because of some things that we have. Verse number 11 said, put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say, put on. That means it's going to take some effort. It's not automatic. It doesn't just come. You gotta pick it up and you gotta put it on. Amen. But if you put it on and you put forth the effort, then things are going to happen. And then he says, put on the whole armor. The whole armor. Don't just put on a part of it or a portion of it, what you like, and leave off what you like. He said, you need the whole thing. Amen. Armor, of course, is something that you wear for protection when you're getting ready to go into a battle. And I don't know about you, but I want to be protected when I'm in a battle. Amen. I want everything you can give me. Amen. And he gave us everything that we need to be successful in this battle that we fight called life. Amen. So we do have the whole armor, and then it's God's armor. God is the one that made it, and God is the one that supplies it. He is its source tonight. You can't get this armor anywhere else. You can't buy it at Walmart. Amen. It comes from the Lord. It's the armor of God. So it's the Lord's armor tonight. And he said, you got to put it on that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we do have an enemy today. The word devil means accuser. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. Has the devil ever accused you of anything? Does he ever get up on your shoulder and tell you how no good you are? and how bad you've done and how bad you failed and how you're a hypocrite and how you ought to give up and how you ought to quit and how nobody loves you, everybody hates you, just go eat some worms. Amen. He just gets to saying that to you, and if you listen, you'll get that old stinking attitude. She will. Amen. You'll get the attitude, don't nobody love me, and don't you dare try. You ever met anybody like that? They're like a porcupine. They get their quills up. It's hard to hug a porcupine. Amen. You got to wait till he gets his quills down before it's going to do any good. Amen. And so he said, we got to be able to withstand against the wiles. The wiles means the strategies of the devil. Now, the devil has been tempting human beings for about 6,000 years, and he's good at it. He's good at it. If you ever, you know, I'm a novice fisherman. I'm not real good at it because I hadn't had a lot of practice. But there are some people that are really good at fishing. They've done it for so long, that's right, that's the key. And they study fish, and they know where fish live. And they know what they like, and they give them what they like. I may like strawberry shortcake, but I don't know that fish do. And so if I'm going to fish, I'm going to use something fish like. I'm not crazy about worms, but I understand they like them. Now, I've never tried one, so I don't guess they're too good. Amen. But if that's what fish like, that's what you use. If you're a fisherman, you know how to do that. The devil has strategies that have been successful against human beings for 6,000 years. Now, the devil cannot read your mind, but he knows you because he's been dealing with people just exactly like you. And he studies you, and he knows. He watches where you go. He watches what you do. He does listen to what you say. And your words can reveal a whole lot about what you're feeling and your spiritual condition. Huh? I'm so discouraged. Amen. He says, good. I know how to deal with that. Amen. Are you start talking about your brothers and sisters? He says, I know how to feed that. Amen. And you start talking about all kinds. You see, he listens to that, and he knows how to. He knows exactly what to do to deepen that feeling of melancholy that you're going through. He knows exactly how to keep sinking you to the bottom. The Bible says that we need to take on the whole armor of God so they can withstand his strategies. Amen. He watches your behavior. He watches what you watch. He watches what you read. He watches everything about you. And he plans his strategy by what you do and what he sees in your life and the insight that you give to him to the weaknesses in your own life. The devil's not all that smart. It's just that we're dumber than the devil. And he reads us. He knows how to read us. Amen. And so let's don't give him any help, folks. Watch your words. Amen. If you're discouraged, don't let him know it. Amen. Just keep on smiling and just keep on singing and just keep on rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just keep on praying. Just keep on shouting. Just keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He has some strategies that he uses and our destruction. Amen. But we put on this whole armor of God so we can be able to stand. Then he goes on to tell us who our enemies are. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. As difficult as people may be, what makes people generally act bad are spirits. The devil knows how to use people, and he gets to use a lot of people. I'm not... talking, there is such a thing as demon possession. We know that's true. I have watched them go in, and I have watched them come out. And I know that they are real. Don't you ever doubt that the devil cannot possess people. Amen. But there are people that are not possessed of the devil, but he certainly knows how to use them. And they yield themselves to him. I don't think that they know that's what they're doing, but they just do. Amen. He knows how to use flesh. He's good at using flesh. And the greatest difficulties you're going to have in this life is problems that are going to come against you through this old flesh. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, we're not battling against flesh and blood. That's not what the problem is, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this is the organized realm of satanic activity. Amen. There's satanic activity that's going on. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air, and it calls him the god of this world. And that's true. We are seeing right now in our country, I don't think we've ever seen a time when the lines are being drawn so clearly as to what our future is going to be. Amen. I was really, really perturbed one time about a certain man that was in a certain office, and I didn't agree with him much at all, and especially in his moral or immoral standing. And I heard a man on the radio on a talk show, and he said, that's exactly the kind of man I want in there. He said, I want somebody that's like me. He just said it. He said, I like that. I want a leader like that. He said, because that's how I am. And that's what we're seeing in our world today, folks. Amen. It's frightening because this nation was founded on Christian principles. But now we are being told that we're no longer a Christian nation and that Christians have no rights here. Amen. And we got to love everybody. I'll give you that. Amen. Praise God. But hey, right's right and wrong is wrong. It always has been. It always will be. I don't care what kind of label you give it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. Amen. Because there's some spiritual wickedness going on in our world right now, and especially in the United States of America. Amen. We saw that thing come in the 60s in a powerful force through the 70s, and it's been downhill ever since then. But I want to give you some hope today. Amen. The church is still in the world. Praise God. And as long as the church is in the world, he said, here's what I want you to pray. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. How are we going to get the earth to be like heaven? We're going to win them one at a time. Hallelujah. Every time you win a soul, the earth comes a little bit more like heaven. Praise God. Every time you change the life of a sinner to a saint, amen, this world becomes a little bit more like heaven. Amen. Praise God. So we are battling. Anybody feel like you've been in a battle? That's because you have been. Amen. You do it every day that you live. Amen. But hey, I'm going to tell you what. He taught us how to do it here, and he gave us everything that we need. Praise God. He said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So what do? When you get tired, you just keep standing. Amen. You just keep standing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You just keep on standing. Amen. He said, stand therefore. But don't just stand. He said, have your loins girt about with truth. Now, the most tender part of your body and the reproductive part of your body is covered in the loins. Amen. Truth reproduces. And if somebody can destroy truth in us, then we can't reproduce the church anymore. Nobody else can be saved anymore. We got to hold on to the truth, folks. We can't let go of that. The devil, one thing he's going to go for is he's going to try to destroy the truth. Amen. So he said, what you've got to do is you've got to have your loins girt about with truth. Amen. You got to protect yourself. Amen. Praise God. You got to protect yourself. You can't allow truth to go down the drain. Amen. And so truth is the way that we gird our loins. Praise God. And then he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate covers the most vital organs, the heart and the lungs and those things that are essential to life. Things that if they're punctured, you die. And so he says, you put on a breastplate of righteousness. Now, if you've ever seen an old Roman soldier, they would have a breastplate, usually made of metal, that they wore, that covered the vital organs of their breast. It protected them. And righteousness is what does that. Amen. It's not what you say, it's what you are. Amen. The greatest proof of Christianity is Christians. Let me say it again. The greatest proof of Christianity is Christians. That's what the world cannot deny. Christians. Amen. The Bible says they were called Christians first at Antioch. They were called Christians by the world. They did not call themselves Christians. The outsiders called them Christians because they reminded them of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the greatest proof of Christianity in the world is real Christians. Amen. Praise God. So let's go ahead and be right. Amen. Act right. Talk right. Be right. Amen. Praise. That's righteousness. Hallelujah. Well, how do I get righteousness? The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. When Jesus has control of your life, you will be righteous. When he doesn't have control of your life, you will not be righteous. Amen. It's just very simple. Amen. So he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Praise God. We need to always be ready to go somewhere and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That ought to be the highlight of your day. That ought to bring you the greatest joy, is to tell somebody else about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Those old soldiers on their feet, they had their boots had spikes on the bottom because they were going to battle, and they needed traction. They didn't want to slip. They needed something that would dig in, and they couldn't be moved when they were going into battle. They needed to be sure-footed and stable. We need to know this gospel, folks. We need to know the word of the Lord. We need to know the plan of salvation. Praise God. Isn't that right? The Bible says we need to be able to give people a reason for the hope that is in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You need more than the pastor's telephone number. Amen. I'm glad you got my number. Call me if you need me, but you need more than that. Amen. Get it here. Get it here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. You already have it. You just get nervous is all. Amen. Every one of you have had the opportunity. When you started talking, those verses just started rolling. And you started, where in the world is that coming from? Amen. I'm going to tell you where it comes from. A whole lot of Wednesday night Bible studies and Sunday morning messages and Sunday night sermons. Amen. You've been service after service. You've been being fed the word of the Lord. Praise God. You've been studying the word and reading your Bible through. And you don't realize it, but it's sinking in. It's in there. The Bible said if we put in there, he said, I'll bring it out. I'll bring it back. Amen. God knows exactly which button to push to get what you need. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So don't get nervous. Just stand up and testify. Hallelujah. Tell them. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. All right. Praise God. So that's our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to take a firm stand on it. Don't let anything push you back. Amen. You just keep standing and going forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Holly used to say, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You may be talking to somebody educated, got more degrees than a thermometer. But you know what? If he doesn't have an experience of the Holy Ghost, he don't know what he's talking about. He may quote Greek, Hebrew, and Chaldean. But if he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, he don't know what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Praise God, I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. Hallelujah. Don't tell me it's not real. Amen. Because I know what it was before. And I know what happened after. And I know when I got it. And I know that it's genuine. Amen. Somebody asked a preacher one time, said, what's the anointing? He said, I don't know what it is, but I know when it ain't. As some definitions you just don't have, but you just know. Amen. Praise God. And this is a no-so salvation. Amen. There's no doubt about it. It's the real thing. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so he said, I want you to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important. It's vital that we have these things, because these are the things that protect us. We have an enemy. Anybody know that? The Bible said, be sober. That means both ways. It simply means don't be under the influence of anything that would cause you not to be vigilant, whatever it is. We can be drunk on things besides alcohol. Amen. You can get drunk on self and selfishness. You can get drunk on materialism. You can get drunk on all kinds of stuff that just cause you not to be vigilant and allows the devil to come in. So he said, you be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If somebody called tonight on the telephone and said, Brother Grissom, there's a circus going through town and the lions got out, and they're out in the street, we don't know where they are, but when you leave, just be careful. Some of you would spend the night. And those that you went out with, you'd be very careful, and somebody went, wow! Well, you'd be raptured right there on the spot. Amen. We'd get real vigilant and real sober, wouldn't we? Amen. We do have an adversary out there, and you got to be sober, folks. You got to be vigilant. Amen. Praise God, because he's real. He's genuine. The Bible said he goeth about like. Everybody say like. The devil is not a lion. He's a liar, but not a lion. Amen. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil is not alone. He does everything he can to imitate Jesus Christ. He's got a roar, but he doesn't have the bite. Amen. But his roar will scare the daylights out of you. Amen. I read about a man some years ago, and the Lord gave him a vision. And he was in a very nice room. It was well appointed. It was very comfortable. But it was a prison cell. And the Lord said, I want you to come out of there. And he said, all right. He made his way over to the door of the prison. And as soon as he stuck his head out, he heard this loud, deafening roar come down the hallway. And he jumped back in his cell and slammed the door. And he said, Lord, I'm afraid. The Lord said, you got to come out. You can't live in there. You can't stay in your fear. You've got to come out of there. So he tried one more time. He stepped out of his cell, and that roar came down the hall, and it was terrifying. And the Lord said, it's all right. Just walk with me. I will take care of you. So he began to make his way down the hallway. And when he finally got past the hall and he looked where the source of the sound was coming from, it was just a great old big PA system. There was no lion. It was just a roar. Amen. It was just a roar. And he got so mad at the devil, he said, you've been keeping me in fear all these years. And all it was a roar. Amen. He goeth about as a roaring lion. Amen. But Jesus is the true lion. He's the one with power, and he's the one with authority. He's the one that gives us victory. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And then he said, I want you to take the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, the Romans had long oblong. They had small round shields. And then they had a big shield that would hide the whole body. And this word here is the big shield that covers the whole body. Now, they were shields that were made of wood, and they were covered with leather on the outside, and they were treated so that the fiery darts, they would put darts and they would put arrows into pitch, and they would light them, and they would shoot those flaming arrows. Amen. We know what those are, right? Those are thoughts. Amen. Those are thoughts. And that's why you got to be protected. So he said, you take the shield of faith. Got to have faith, folks. You can't make this without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen. We must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. And so you take that shield of faith, and that's what keeps you going. When you don't understand things, you just have faith. Praise God. When you don't know what to do, you just have faith in God. And you just keep doing what you know is right. And you keep doing what you know to be true. And you don't stop. You just keep going on. Amen. Those shields, not only would they protect the soldier, but they could actually link those things together. They had on the side of them, they had little pieces of metal, and they could link together until they could just make a long line. Amen. Praise God. You know the beautiful thing about the church is you're not alone here, folks. Amen. When they got into a place, and you know, sometimes the archers would shoot those arrows up in the air, and they'd just rain down from the heavens. But if they could get those shields and link them together, they could put them overhead, and it was like a giant umbrella that would protect them from the enemy. Amen. I'm saying that the faith is like that. It's an umbrella. It's a shield. It will keep you. Praise God. It'll keep you from the snare of the enemy. It'll keep you from the power of the devil, and it will bring you through victoriously. And then he said, you've got to put on the helmet of salvation. Helmet. Everybody say helmet. That was the hardest part of all the armor, because the head has to be protected above all things. Where does the devil attack people? That's it, in the mind. I've heard people talk about how powerful the devil is. Let me tell you how powerful he is. He can give you a thought. That's all he can do. What did he do to Eve? Did he make her eat? No, he just gave her a thought. All he did was give her a thought. How does sin come in? As temptation. How does temptation come in? As a thought. It always begins as a thought. It's a thought before it's an action. Amen. So that's why we've got to protect our thoughts. Amen. So you put on the helmet of salvation. Praise God. You put on what's right, and you keep doing what is right. Amen. And you protect your thoughts. You cover your thoughts. Amen. Because that is so vital. Amen. Because we know that that's how sin comes in. It comes in through the thinking process. We've got to have that salvation, that new birth. Amen. The Bible said you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. Water baptism and Spirit baptism are all a part of the same new birth. Praise God. Be born again of water and of the Spirit. And then it says that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 said, for the Word of God is quick. That means it makes alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now that's mighty fine, folks. That's a powerful weapon. It has two edges. Somebody said it cuts coming and going. Hallelujah. But you know what it is? Amen. It's like a scalpel in the hands of a surgeon that can very delicately cut out sin out of a heart and out of a mind and out of a life. Praise God. That's how powerful it is. Thank God. It can do that. The Bible said it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I think that's so beautiful. How God, you see, God, you don't control your thoughts. At least you don't control what comes into your thinking. Those are where the fire darts come from. Everybody, you've had thoughts come in your head. You don't know where in the world that came from. Isn't that right? You may have had thoughts in this service. Amen. If there was, if this screen up here could contain your thoughts, I probably wouldn't have anybody to preach to. Amen. All right, some of you already thought, I wish you'd hush up and let me go home. Amen. And all kinds of thoughts come into your head. Now, you didn't really mean that, of course. Amen. But everything kind of thing comes into your head. Amen. Praise God. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so's put on a few pounds since the psalm last. And boy, I wouldn't be caught dead in an outfit like that. And you know, thoughts just come into your head. Praise God. Somebody, I've heard people say, well, it's just as bad to think it as it is to say it. Wrong. Very wrong. Amen. What people, what you think, nobody knows. But once you open your mouth. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I've been saved black eyes and bloody noses by keeping my mouth shut. I've maintained friendships by keeping my mouth shut. Praise, even when people ask what I thought, there's some questions you just don't answer. Your wife says, does this dress make me look fat? You think I'm going to answer that? I'm no fool. There's some questions you just don't answer, folks. Amen. Some things you just don't say. You just get smart sometimes. Amen. Praise God. So we gotta protect our thoughts. But we don't control what comes in, but we do control what we do about it. Isn't that right? You control what you do about it. Every temptation comes as a thought. But as long as it's a thought, it's only a temptation. It doesn't become a sin until we act on it. As long as it's a thought, there is no sin. You may feel condemned and think, what in the world am I thinking? Amen. But you see, that's when you take the Word of God and you separate the thought from the intention. Hallelujah. And that's how the victory comes. Praise God. Amen. It was just a thought and you let it go. Praise God. And you don't act on it. And so you walk away victorious. That's how the Word of God works in our life. The temptation comes, you resist the temptation. You resist the thought. You resist the impulse. Amen. And you win the victory. Praise God. That's how you are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then Paul concludes this by talking about prayer. He said, praying always, verse 18, praying always with all prayer. That means with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, all prayer is not the same. There's different kinds of prayer, isn't there? Amen. There's what we call memorial prayer. Memorial prayer is you're reminding God. David did that when he said, remember, Lord, I'm just dust. Remember, Lord, I'm just human. Amen. That's a memorial prayer. Reminding God and ourselves. But on the other hand, we also remind ourselves of what we are in God. David did that too, didn't he? The Bible said when he was getting ready to go out to face Goliath, he said a bear came out of the woods. I was watching my father's flock. He took a lamb, and he said, I went over and I took the lamb out of his mouth, and I slew him with my bare hands. And then he said a lion came out. And he said, and I slew the lion. You see, those are memorial prayers, and those are good prayers. It's good sometimes to remind yourself, remind God, remind the devil of victories God has wrought in your life. Those are memorial prayers. And then there's prayers of repentance. Whenever we ask God to forgive us, and national repentance, repenting for the sins of our nation. And then there's a supplication. Supplication is we're asking God for a particular request for ourselves, our own needs. We're surrendering our will. We are humbling ourselves before God. That's what supplication is. Intercession is when we're asking God for things for others that other people have need of. There's spiritual warfare. When we go to war with the devil and we just take a stand and we just keep pressing him back in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of the blood, and we take authority over him, and we will not allow him into our homes and into our lives and into our church, and we press back and we win victories. Amen. Spiritual warfare. All those are different types of prayer. And he said, with all perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. You just got to keep doing it. Perseverance, you just got to keep doing it. How long, Brother Grissom, until you draw your last breath? You just keep doing it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Paul, when he wrote this lesson to us, or this chapter to the Corinthian church, he was writing from a prison cell, and there was a Roman guard standing right there with him. So you talk about a ready-made sermon illustration. He just looked and he said, he's got the helmet on his head. He's got on his breastplate. He's got his loins girt about with the leather. Amen. He just looked at the man, and everything he saw, he just wrote it down. Amen. And thank God for somebody that from a prison cell could persevere. He didn't get discouraged and quit and give up. Amen. Matter of fact, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, now when you come, he said, I left my coat at Troas. Now it was cold where he was, about 52 degrees year-round in that old prison cell. He said, so you bring my cloak with you. And he said, and bring the parchments, he says, especially the parchments. The parchments may have been some writings that he had already written, plus something that he could write on to send out some more letters. Paul was saying, I can't get out of here, but I can still send the word forth. Praise God, I'm not free to go, but the word is not bound. Thank God for somebody with that kind of perseverance, somebody with that kind of tenacity. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hey, let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. William Borden was a young man from a very wealthy family with a sure future as far as wealth and possessions and position were concerned and influence. But William Borden answered a call of God to be a missionary. Whenever he went down and gave his life to God and surrendered to the call to be a missionary, he wrote these words. He said, without reservation. And then, as he was getting ready to leave on his mission, he had a lawyer draw up some papers, and he signed away all rights to the family fortune so that he would not be tempted to come back. And he wrote also, without retreat. And then William Borden, sometime later, was stricken with a disease that would eventually take his life. And the last thing that he wrote with these others, he said, without regret, without reservation, without retreat, without regret. Amen. If you could live a life like that, what a life that would be. Amen. No reservation, no retreat, no regret. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the kind of life we want to live. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. The only thing that I would have done different is made my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. Oh, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is make my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. Oh, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is make my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. Sing it with me. Amen. Oh, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different has made my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. Oh, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is made my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus, now I can say I have no regrets.